Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals review show. We're going to talk about those matches that were played and, of course, the match that wasn't played in the quarterfinal round of this edition of the U.S. Open Cup. Joining me from the Blue Testament of SB Nation, one of my colleagues, of course, Thad Bell, joining me. Thad, welcome back to the show, and how are you?
I'm doing good, and thanks for having me on.
No problem. Welcome back, and let's get into this. This was probably, I think you could probably say it was a great match, a little strange here and there, but when you get to extra time, Sporting Kansas City got the job done, and they are in the semifinals for the first time probably in about 2 years.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a strange match, like you said, going a man down 50 minutes in, surviving for 75-plus minutes, whatever it was, and then having equaled and two-man advantage, or then the Sporting having a man advantage. It was just a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it really was, and of course, Seth Sinovic, and I can't believe, and I'm not saying Seth's a dirty player, obviously. I'm not saying that, but I'm very, very strange. That's his first ever red card in MLS play. I mean, you would think maybe he had a two yellow into red match that might have sent him off, but that's his first red card ever. That was weird.
Yeah, he's actually way smarter than that. When he gets a yellow, it's because, you know, he needed to take a yellow sort of thing. He knew he was beat a little bit, and that was just I think he just lost it for that second. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody or anything. He was just, you know, trying to not let the guy go by so easily, and he messed up.
Yeah, he really did. But still, though, very entertaining matchup. Victor Yuloa, Roger Espinoza getting booked for that little fracas in first half stoppage time. Nothing through 90 minutes. You go into extra time, and we all know Maximilio Urruti was not trying to kick him in the head. We all know he was trying to go for the ball. We are all aware of that. But still, though, that was a hard, hard kick Opara took to the head. And you can probably tell on replay, he was already knocked out before he, you know, landed hard on the turf. And just very happy that Ike's okay. But still, though, that was a bit scary.
It was, and again, I'm going to reiterate what you said. Urruti had no intention of hurting Ike. There was no ill will, no dirty play involved in that in any way whatsoever. And just to add to that, he was obviously distraught on the field, and then after the game, he was down at the Sporting locker room to see how he was. He was trying to find out. He was visibly shaken. He did not intend to do anything like that. So all credit to him. He cared very much about Ike being okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to see anyone injured in any match whatsoever. And you can tell, like we've already said, Maximiliano Urruti, you can tell he was distraught. He didn't want to hurt. He wasn't even looking to see if Opara was there. But, you know, second yellow, down to 10 men goes FC Dallas. And then after all that, you go into first half extra time, first half stoppage time and extra time. You got Latif Blessing scoring twice, and within a 4 to 5 minute span. You gotta say this Latif Blessing. We rarely see him in league play, but it sounds like he's one of those that's up and coming and gets those opportunities in the Open Cup.
Yeah, and he's getting more opportunities in league play also, just with different players out and various. But he's little, he's quick, he's fearless. He will do, he will try every move under the sun to try to beat you. He is confident as all get out. I mean, his English is not the greatest, but when you talk to him, he's like, I'm here in KC to win cup. I'm here to win cup for fans. Just really straightforward, super confident. But the funny thing about that second goal was he thought he was offside, so he didn't even try on it. He didn't, like, try to score that goal. He just flicked it as it came at him. He thought he was offside. He didn't think it was a goal until he, like, turned around and realized the ref was blowing it.
I'll tell you, that's amazing, you know, when you're in the right place in the right time, even when you don't know it, and Blessing finds a way to get that second goal off his heel and beats Jesse Gonzalez for that big 2-0 lead. And then, of course, Daniel Saloy gets that third goal within the final 2 minutes of second half extra time. It's 3-0 to Sporting Kansas City, and Javier Morales gets a straight red card for grabbing a shirt. Red card straight, goes after Morales, and that's it. FC Dallas goes down to 9 men, and when it's all said and done, Sporting Kansas City dethrones the Open Cup champions of last year. And Sporting so far looking solid in Open Cup play and moving on to the semifinals.
Yeah, Sporting is playing well and then facing San Jose next, and the winner of that game faces New York and the winner of the non-MLS teams. So you'd have to say, and Sporting has got home field advantage by the draw for the rest of the last two games. So you'd have to say they have a little bit of inside track. I'm not going to talk any trash or anything like that because anything can happen in any game, obviously. But they at least have a little bit of a advantage going into the last two games.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Let me ask you this about what's been happening with Miami FC, FC Cincinnati. Obviously, you probably watched that match with FC Cincinnati against the Chicago Fire. And yeah, this is the semifinals, but let me just say this. Are you a little worried if you get either Miami or Cincinnati? Because I think right now, I know they're lower level teams, second division teams in two separate leagues, and one since he's in the USL, Miami, the North American Soccer League. Are you a little worried if you do make it to the final that you're going to face one of these two sides that are managed very, very well and can definitely take on any MLS side like it's a regular match?
And yeah, I wouldn't argue with that at all. I think in both cases, they're obviously not quite to the upper MLS level of play, but they're both very disciplined. They're very organized. They're going to, if they face, when they face an MLS team, they've already done it. But when they face an MLS team, they're obviously playing up. It's their game. You know, they're there to win that match more than the MLS team is, I think, in most of the cases, at least so far. I think if they go into going against Sporting in the final, that would be a little bit different. Probably against New York in the next game, that would be a little bit different because it's so close to the final now. Everybody's coming to play a little bit harder. But those guys are nobody to overlook in any way, shape, or form. And I think they're ripe to knock another team off or two.
Yeah, I think so as well. And we'll see what happens because obviously one of those two sides – are going to face each other in that quarterfinal match that was postponed originally, meant for Wednesday, July the 12th, but because of the huge rainstorm down in Miami, they got to have that rescheduled for Wednesday, August 2nd, and the winner of that one will host the Red Bulls, but still, you know, those are two teams, whoever wins that quarterfinal matchup, you know, got to be worried because, you know, someone's going to knock off someone, and then all of a sudden, they're facing an MLS side that you never know what they're going to get, and we'll see how far that they can go. But let's go into this semifinal matchup. Once again, it'll be at the Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. San Jose Earthquakes defeating the LA Galaxy 3-2. Chris Wondolowski gets a brace, and then Danny Hosen gets that third goal, but still – I know Sporting's got some solid players. We all know their roster is top-notch. But what worries you about San Jose, not just Chris Wondolowski, but maybe someone else on that side?
That's a good question, and I haven't really looked too hard into it yet. But I think one thing that worries me is that they've not been successful against Sporting this year already. So it's just that, you know, you can't beat somebody so many times in a row sort of jinx that worries me a little bit. But they're a solid team. They have a lot of really good players besides Wondolowski. Obviously, he's, you know, the guy everybody's going to key on. But they're a solid team. I mean, they're not very high in the standings right now. I forget exactly where they're at, but I think they're on that borderline somewhere. But they're a better team than what I think their standings are.
Yeah, I think so too. And let me ask you this, though. I mean, obviously, it's not a Dominic Kinnear team anymore. Now it's Chris Leitch, former MLS defender who played in San Jose, played with the then as the Metro Stars, the New York club. And, you know, he's a very crafty defender when he played. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what type of lineup he's going to throw at Sporting. Do you expect this to be an additional issue because now it is Chris Leitch and it's not Dom Kinnear?
Absolutely. That's Vermees and Dom go back way, you know, back to their playing days, right? They know each other. They've coached against each other I don't know how many times now. And initially, Dom always had Vermees' number, and then the tide kind of turned in Houston, and that was the final hurdle for Sporting to get past in order to move up into MLS Cup play there for a couple years. So he, you know, they were a good match, and Vermees really knew him well. So with Leitch in charge now, I don't know that we know exactly what he's going to do every game. We knew what Dom was going to do pretty much. Dom wasn't going to change. With Leitch there, who knows?
Yeah, that's the big question mark, isn't it? And we'll see what happens going forward. But, you know, you've seen Sporting Kansas City, of course, back then when they were known as the Kansas City Wizards, winning this Open Cup tournament. I mean, obviously, a trophy's a trophy no matter what, but how special is it to win an Open Cup again if you get that opportunity?
To me, it's very special. For me personally, I mean, I'm going to talk for myself for a second. The first thing they won since when I started covering the team was an Open Cup, and I was on a field when it happened, and, you know, got to be in the locker room when they're throwing champagne and, you know, taking pictures of players posing with the trophy afterwards and all this type of stuff. It was just an amazing thing because, you know, inside, while I maintain a mostly professional atmosphere or appearance while I'm there, I'm still a fan. I'm rooting for this team, right? So it was really special for me. And I'll tell you, every one of these players, they want to win a trophy. They want a cup. If it's an Open Cup, great. If it's an MLS Cup, even better. But they want a cup. They want another trophy. You talk to any of them, that's like two more games and it's a cup.
Yep.
They're very dedicated towards doing that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're very dedicated about it, and it's a great thing to see. Thad, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Hope you have a good night. Good luck in your next league match, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me on, and talk to you guys later.
All right. Talk to you later. Thad Bell from the Blue Testament of SB Nation, my SB Nation colleague that covers Sporting Kansas City, as Sporting is one win away, of course, from getting to the U.S. Open Cup final. And if they do win their semifinal matchup against the San Jose Earthquakes, they will host the final, as that draw was shown and done at Soccer House this past Friday by the commissioner of the Open Cup, and Mr. Paul Mauerstaller. And all you can do is just go out there and just try and win and get to move on to the next round. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Have some fun and try and get into the next round as quickly as possible. So we'll see what happens over there. And once again, you know, this was a bit disheartening to see, of course, that Open Cup match in the quarterfinals postponed down in Miami. But still, though, and all I can say is when Mother Nature calls – and she claims that you will not play, Mother Nature will say you're not playing. I gotta tell you, this is going to be an unbelievable thing, what's going to happen. And it's just wonderful to see what these teams are going to do, how they're going to do it. And all I can say is that, you know, I'm just glad that they rescheduled it. It's a little bit further away than normal, you would think, but still, though, that's the date that was available, and that's the date that that we're expecting that makeup game to be done. And all you can say is, you know, let's just get it on. Let's just get it on. Let's get into that that big quarterfinal matchup that was postponed. And all you can do is just get ready and have some fun, and then that quarterfinal round will be complete, and we move on to the semifinals. So this is going to be interesting. This is going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to see what is going to happen when we have this all four matches completed and we get ready for the semifinals in August. August 9th, maybe August 15th. We'll get to that in a moment, folks. We'll get to that in a moment. But still, though, it's just, you know, very exciting. Very, very exciting to get ready, have some fun, and let's go ahead and talk about the Open Cup and enjoy ourselves in that big semifinal matchup. So waiting on Mr. Ted Ramey over in San Jose, gentlemen, is the radio voice, TV voice, I think, as well, for the probably the radio voice for the San Jose Earthquakes out in San Jose, California, for KNBR Radio, as we're waiting for him to call in to get us ready to go and get us ready to have some fun to talk about a big win in the brand new Chris Leach era, as once again it was a big big quarterfinal victory for the Earthquakes. Out of the blue, Jelly Van Dam gets the opening goal to make it 1-0 for the Galaxy. But Chris Wondolowski, and, you know, you just got to say that what you saw from Chris Wondolowski was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic what he did for a teammate who was basically injured, but an off-the-field incident. And to see him do that for his teammate, who was basically, you know, down in Reno on a loan spell. Don't remember the whole story. I know it was told by Mr. Ramey, and when he comes on, and hopefully we'll be ready to go and talk about it. And but still, though, you know, the gentleman's name that had the incident, which, of course, Matheus Silva, who is from Brazil, and just really, really tough to see him fall like that. But, you know, to talk about that situation, of course, that big 3-2 victory over the Galaxy in the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup, Mr. Ted Ramey from KNBR Radio 1050 in San Jose, California. Welcome to the show. And I got to say, you did an excellent job on the call for that big quarterfinal clash.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It is, it's always hard when you're broadcasting for two teams because people know that you're the voice of the Earthquakes in that instance. And so a lot of the LA fans, they hear that and they say, oh, this guy is biased and they don't want to hear what I have to say. But actually the LA Galaxy fans, I thought they were really cool and they were getting involved on Twitter and stuff. And at this point, just the rivalry between the fan bases of the Quakes and the Galaxy is almost as much fun as what actually happens on the pitch. So it was really fun. But I appreciate the kind words.
No, absolutely. I was watching and listening to you call the game, and you know, I gotta say, you were fair and right down the line. I thought you did an excellent job. But you know, before we even get to the match, obviously, You were talking about an incident with Matheus Silva, who was on loan down in Reno in the United Soccer Leagues. There was some sort of swimming accident. What happened, and is he okay?
Yeah, the details that I really know right now, because they haven't given us a whole lot to work on, but I guess they went out early in the morning on the 4th of July. He and his teammates, they were coming off a big thrashing of Galaxy 2, and they went out early on the morning of the 4th of July to try and reserve a spot at Lake Tahoe, and I guess that he went out swimming, and somebody saw him out there start to struggle, and I guess he went under, and somebody came and pulled him off, from underneath the water, and they brought him back on shore, and they administered CPR, and then he was airlifted to a hospital, and then he was taken to another hospital. A couple of days after that, he was taken off of the respirator he was on, and he was extubated. So that was good, and he showed signs of improvement. He was talking. I don't know how relatively alert he was, but I think it was a very, very positive sign, just the fact that they were able to extubate him and he was able to communicate. I haven't gotten tons of details since then, but what other Lake Tahoe residents have said is that because of all the snowpack they had this year, that it's been melting, but it's had an effect on the temperature of the lake, and they've had other similar drowning instances just because the water is so cold, and so they've had people go into, I guess, sort of a, not quite hypothermia, but there is sort of a coldness-induced issue that's going on where people are not having the bodily control they would normally have when swimming with this decreased temperature. So Matheus Silva is not the only one that has had this happen this year in terms of people swimming at Lake Tahoe, from what I've heard. But in terms of more of an update, since that point, that's really all we've heard, is that he's been extubated and was doing better. But I figure that that in and of itself, so quickly after the initial incident happened, that has to be a good sign. And hopefully we find out more about his condition soon. I do know the Earthquakes are still looking for the people who initially pulled him from the water and pulled CPR, because they want to thank them, and they've not yet been able to find those people. So if anybody knows anything, please reach out to the Earthquakes.
No, absolutely. And I think that was a wonderful gesture by Wondolowski to add the number 3 in front of his 8 to represent the jersey number of Silva. I thought that was wonderful. And, of course, obviously both goals he scored was dedicated to him. So I just think that was a wonderful gesture by Wando, and I'm just glad he did it.
Yeah, Wando's the man. I mean, he's the captain. He knows how it works. And, you know, it's funny because that was not something that had been pitched by the team. That was just Chris being Chris, man. He's a good dude, and he gets the community involvement and wants to be that leader for his teammates. And that's just what kind of makes that guy special, because, you know, not everybody has the same connection to their club as, you know, when they do wear that armband to be the captain, but Chris does. And, you know, that's just how he rolls. And, you know, you kind of take your hat off to him because he's a class act all the way. And I mean, you combine that with the fact that he's one of the most prolific scorers in the history of the league, and you just, you get more and more of an idea why he means so much to the people out here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, that's very true. He has done a great job over there at the Bay Area. He's led them to several solid wins. Of course, there was that moment, of course, when he was in the CONCACAF Champions League. I think that second leg almost, obviously pushing it into the penalty kick shootout, but if he had another chance or two, he probably would have converted those chances down in Mexico. He probably would have avoided the shootout, but, you know, he's done a great job helping out the Earthquakes, being a part of that squad, and just, you know, putting 110% into everything he does.
Yeah, no, you appreciate the work rate of a guy like that, because, you know, when you look at his game, it's not like he's the fastest, quickest guy out there who's relying on elite athleticism. I mean, he is a talented athlete, no doubt, but he just has a sense of where to be. He's always at the right place at the right time, and some guys just have that. I kind of see it similarly when I watch Jordan Morris with the Sounders. I mean, that guy's just, whether it's with the Sounders, whether it was Spurt, or whether it's with the men's national team, he knows where he's supposed to be. He knows where a rebound's going to go to. And I don't think you could ever ask him and he would say, oh, I knew where I had to be. But when those guys, they just have that sense of where the ball is going to carry them, where they need to be in space. And, you know, whether it's a Wondolowski who's used that so much of his entire career, or these other guys that you identify it in, it's very fun to watch.
It really is. That must have been a scare in the third minute when Jelly Van Dam just comes out of nowhere, leaps up for that ball and heads it past your keeper, Tarbell. I couldn't believe he got that early goal. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't too surprised because he did the same thing in, I believe, the 11th minute just about a week earlier in the Clásico at Stamford Stadium. And it was off the volley. He just went up sideways and blasted one home to give the Galaxy an early win. And, you know, Yellow Van Dam is the guy who can – he knows when to strike. He has such a sense of the moment. So watching him do that two consecutive games with the early goals, I wasn't that surprised by it. I mean, it was definitely – you don't usually expect a goal to happen that early in the match, but – when you look at it and it's Van Dam, it's just kind of like, well, that's what he does. And I'm a big fan of Van Dam because he plays the role of the heel. Like, I think especially in those games between the Galaxy and the Quakes, like he tries to instigate the fans in attendance and he tries to play it up. And he's very big about representing the Galaxy crest and such. And I like the fact that he plays it up so much. He knows that when he's going up against the Quakes, that he's the captain of their biggest rival, so he's going to play that role of the villain. And I just watching him do that, getting that immediate goal, I was like, he did it again. He set the stage, but it was fun to watch. And it was not, I guess no one can ever really predict a goal that quickly, but in that game, if anybody was going to score it, it was going to be Van Dam.
Yeah, that's just amazing what he's doing, and especially when he does in these Cali Clásico matches. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, and I mean, this is a bit of a Open Cup record, you might say, but if Tarbell would have just moved over a little to his left or a little to his right, the ball would not have bounced off of him. And we'll go to Danny Hosen's goal in a minute, but did you know that's the 9th own goal in this 2017 Open Cup season so far?
No, I did not know that. Own goal.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. We had an own goal the other night in our friendly against German team Eintracht Frankfurt. And I know people, they love to laugh at him, but I always, when you're playing that close to the goal and anything can happen, the ball can carry him. You kind of feel bad for guys at times because that's the way it goes down. And anybody on the back line can tell you that. But 9 so far in the USOC, wow, that is, I had not heard that. That's crazy.
It's crazy, and I think like a little either at half or a little below half are match winners.
I had not heard that stat either. God, that's wild.
No.
I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Because I mean, I keep track of some of this stuff. I do. I have like my own Open Cup scorecard. So on my Excel Pro, here's what happened. Second round, the amateur side Tartan Devils, they scored an own goal in the 8th minute to give Louisville City the lead, and then all of a sudden 8 straight by Louisville City. So that was a match winner for Louisville City, but even though they didn't score it, South Florida Surf gave a match winner to Miami FC in the same round in the 60th minute. And then, in your match, that was the 9th own goal of this edition's tournament. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's it. I mean, I guess you're bound to see it, and I guess when you get that many games in one competition, you're going to see a bunch of things like that. But no, that is pretty wild. But I guess that sets the stage. Maybe we'll see one here in the semifinals coming up. I just hope it's not us.
It could be. Yeah, hope not. I know, but just to go to Danny Hosen, you can tell, he wanted that goal really badly. How many times he was offside? I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times maybe before he converted in the 62nd minute. I thought he was really active out there. It looks like he's paired up well or behind Wando. It just looks like Hosen, he was really wanting that goal for himself really badly. And that became the match winner, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it was a nice goal by him. And he's worked really hard to kind of integrate himself into what the Earthquakes are trying to do, and it's taken a while. But now you've really seen it in about the last month or so. He scored his first goal in Major League Soccer against the Galaxy right at the end of May. And since then, he's been involved. He's had some assists. He's really been getting along well with everybody else and working alongside Wondolowski is where he's been at sometimes. There was other points earlier in the season where they kind of had him split out wide as a target winger, which was really interesting as well. So he's kind of doing it, whatever he can to try and facilitate what's going on. but he's a good dude. I think that he saw the opportunity here in the States when Jesse Fiorelli was approaching him and the Quakes were doing their offseason stuff with the targeted allocation money. And now you see that he's kind of getting more and more comfortable. And he's just – he's got a rocket for a leg. I don't know how aware everybody is of that. But, I mean, when he wants to let it loose, I mean, he can let it go. So now you're kind of starting to see that a little bit more. And just watching him kind of get comfortable, I think now that you kind of started to turn the faucet on, now you're going to see kind of just come pouring out with him being on the scoring end of things. Because he's, you know, he's got size. He's got really good ability to read what's going on around him. It was just taking a while to get into the flow of things with the Earthquakes. You always saw that his work rate was really good. He was playing hard, and he was often in the right place. He'd had a couple go off the woodwork. He had had just some kind of bad things happen in the attacking third, but now it is starting to line up for him quite nicely.
That's fantastic to hear. Okay, so now we have a big matchup between the San Jose Earthquakes and Sporting Kansas City. Now, I know Dominic Kinnear is no longer running the Earthquakes bench. It's now Chris Leach coming from the front office as on an interim basis. What have you liked from Chris so far? And do you think because of the switch, is that advantage San Jose going over to Sporting Kansas City on August 9th for the semifinals?
Well, first I'll say with regards to Dominic Kinnear no longer being the head coach of the Earthquakes, it's unfortunate because I will always be a fan of Dominic Kinnear, and he's meant a lot to Bay Area soccer, and he means so much to the Earthquakes, and he's, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer for U.S. soccer, and that's just how it goes in pro sports, right? I mean, when somebody in a management position wants to make a change, I always tell people, you know, it's not a personal indictment. It's just they feel like, hey, we're going to go in a different direction with the team. And, you know, you feel bad for Dom because he's a very good guy, very nice guy, and, you know, a lifetime soccer man. And it's unfortunate to see him go, but, you know, he handled the situation with aplomb. And, you know, he's a legend. That's essentially the way it's going to go down for him forever. But, you know, watching Chris Leach come over, this is a guy who has worked his tail off, really. He's been involved now after his Major League Soccer career. He's been working with the Earthquakes on the technical side of things, was behind getting the academy really, really revved up to speed, you know, was named the technical director, in, I believe, August of 2015. Then he, again, now has this opportunity to take over as the head coach of the team. And it's really interesting to watch what he's doing because, you know, he's now running the team in a bit of a 3-5-2, and I think that is, you know, with the help of some wingbacks, is allowing the Earthquakes to get forward a little bit more. They're keeping the ball more in the middle of the park, which is also a little bit more interesting. You can see them using a little bit more of Tommy Thompson and Jameer Hika kind of trying to link the chain. They're playing it building from the back. They're not as inclined to go direct or go over the top from their goalkeepers. But, I mean, you still see many of the same talents that the Earthquakes were using. It's just tweaked in terms of how they're deciding to use it. But I think Chris Leach is doing a very good job and, you know, maximizing the way that he wants to run the club. And that's, I mean, he was appointed to this position for a reason. So I've really been pleased with what he's done so far. In terms of, you know, how it's going to change things going up against Kansas City in the Open Cup semis, it's, you wonder, right? Because sometimes in sports, regardless of whether it's soccer or basketball or baseball or football, when there is a coach firing in the middle of the season, there can be a bit of a boost for the team. And it might be just because there's change. It might be because the players kind of realize, like, whoa, okay, like this just got real. It might be kind of that quote-unquote come-to-Jesus moment for a lot of the players because they realize that means that, you know, the onus is next on them. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, they're going up against an incredible coach in Peter Vermes of Sporting Kansas City, the way he's been running that 4-3-3 for years. And that is just a talented side out there. I mean, whether you're talking about a Dom Dwyer, whether you're talking about a Graham Zusi, I mean, there's just so much talent out there. Matt Beasler is another guy that I really like to watch play. You can go down the list with that squad, and they are rife with talent. That's why they've been so consistently good, you know, over the last few years and longer. I think it's setting up to be a really good matchup, though, and you know, I think that. I know the Earthquakes want to add some more hardware. They want to win themselves the cup and put that, you know, on their trophy display in the executive offices. And I think that, you know, you look at that as well as the Champions League possibility that's on the line as well. I think the Earthquakes have a lot to play for, but also so do Sporting Kansas City. And I think we're set up for a very fun match at the very least, because when these teams have clashed already this year, it's been a lot of fun.
It really has been. I want to throw this at you real quick, and then I'll let you go.
Sure.
Miami FC, FC Cincinnati, their match got postponed because of the terrible rainstorm, thunder and lightning that was flashing all the way in Miami, Florida. But one of those two is moving on to the semifinals on the eastern side of that bracket. If either team advances to the final, and let's just say for the heck of it, San Jose will face either Cincinnati or Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an issue you think the Earthquakes could have? Because let's be honest, Nesta is managing Miami FC. FC Cincinnati has been a great story ever since they came into the USL. Would you be really worried facing one of those two sides? Because, you know, those guys, they're ready for another scalp.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. I mean, in terms of who would present the greatest challenge, I know the atmosphere in Cincinnati is supposed to be absolutely tremendous. You've seen some of the just a lot of the crowds you would see, that hostile environment, I think people would be really, really fired up for. But either way, it is a tremendous challenge, and you love the way that these teams are presenting. You love the way that they're playing, and I think this just represents the best of the best that the U.S. Open Cup represents. I mean, these guys are getting their opportunity, and they're going on, and it's not really, you know, any team that gets it to this point, they're playing tremendous soccer, right? I mean, that's where we're at this point. And so to see whichever one would, you know, potentially advance, they're both very good teams. I know I've heard a little bit more about the crowds with Cincinnati and people just absolutely raving about them. But, you know, at this point, if you advance, you're excited to. I think the Earthquakes are more worried about advancing as opposed to who they're going to play next, but it's hard not to look ahead. But either way, it's a fun place to be right now, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what, Ted, you know, that was a great win, great victory for San Jose. You take the next route, and that's the semifinals on the road at Sporting Kansas City. Thank you so much for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Good luck with the rest of the season. Are you flying over here for the Wednesday game, maybe, possibly?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Now I fly out tomorrow morning at about, I think my flight boards 7:20, so I'll be on my way out from SFO all the way back to Newark, so we'll be having some fun. Are you going to be at the game on Wednesday night?
But of course. I'll be in the press room.
Okay.
You can come on down, and we can have some fun.
That sounds like a good time to me. I appreciate you having me on. Don't hesitate to reach out, and I will see you, probably about 48 hours from now. Sound good?
Absolutely. It sounds fantastic. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you over here in a day or two.
Sounds good, man. You take it easy.
You too. That's Ted Ramey, radio voice of the San Jose Earthquakes, as they defeat Sporting Kansas City by final of, or excuse me, they defeat the LA Galaxy by a final of 3-2, and they will face Sporting Kansas City in the semifinals on the road at Children's Mercy Park. It should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. We'll see what happens. Once again, real quickly, postponement of Miami FC and FC Cincinnati, which will be on Wednesday, August the 2nd, then the semifinals will be on. So let's go now to the New York Red Bulls match. Now, 1-0 victory over the New England Revolution. For the first time, consecutive days, two different tourneys, or shall we say, you know, two different seasons, league season, Open Cup season, the Red Bulls have gone to New England and have won. A come-from-behind victory late in the 90th minute at Gillette Stadium in league play. And then in the 87th minute, a beautiful goal by Bradley Wright Phillips on a toe poke, beating Brad Knighton for the only goal of the match, with a brilliant ball delivered by Felipe. And the New York Red Bulls, after 4 minutes of second half stoppage time, advance to the U.S. Open Cup semifinals, where they will await the winner of either FC Cincinnati or Chicago Fire. They might, not that they might, they will be on the road. It just depends on, will they go to South Florida Will they go to Cincinnati, Ohio? That is the huge question mark right there. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. But, you know, all you can do is you just got to find a way. Find a way to go out there, and you just got to go and get the victory, no matter how great or no matter how poor or how sloppy it is. You have to go out and perform and put yourself in a position. Here's something about that match I want to talk about, of course, was this. Outside the Teal Bunbury chance that went wide, nothing happened. The Revolution couldn't do anything. They could do nothing. And when you see New England not penetrating good enough and not performing at their best, you can tell that the act of revenge was deep in their minds. So all I can say is that the New York Red Bulls advantaged them. And all you can say is that, and all you can do is this. All you can do is just play your match, play your game, play how you want to play it, and go after it and finally get that goal. Some very solid saves by Knighton. Mara really wasn't troubled that much, but still, though, I thought Ryan Mara had a solid match. And I know everyone has been, and I'm talking about the fans, I know everyone's been, you know, bugging Sasha Kleistian. They feel he wasn't doing anything. They, you know, the whole laziness is just ridiculous. That's, let me just say that right now. The whole laziness, he's a lazy player. He's not a lazy player. He's working hard to get what he can and do the things he can do to get victories. Is he having a poor year? Yes. Stats-wise, he's having a poor year. There's no doubt about that. But he's been working hard. He's been working hard and doing everything he can possible to get victories for the Red Bulls. All he needs to do is just try and get out of the funk and go out there and perform at his best, which I thought he did. I thought this was the best 90 minutes he has played in this tourney. So that's all I can say. And once again, it's just a situation where he just has to be a little bit better. Match in, match out. But, you know, once again, all you can do is hope and pray for the best. You know, for some of you, and I was at Red Bull's training today for the, as you know, once again, the Earthquakes are coming to Red Bull Arena this coming Wednesday to take on the Red Bulls, obviously. If you were watching it live on the stream, if you were there and maybe you just missed it, we all saw Benjamin Ngoa being sent off in the 75th minute of this match. And what happened was let's just go ahead and say it. We had no idea what happened. It went to a replay of the foul. Next thing you know, Jorge Gonzalez goes over to Ngoa, red card, you're done. I'm waiting for a replay to see what the hell happened. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, if he deserved it, he deserved it. But, you know, you didn't see anything on that replay. What you saw was Ngoa taking down Bradley Wright Phillips. He made a motion with his leg. Now, he didn't get Bradley because he was away from Bradley when he made the motion. So, you know, obviously, if he made a motion there and he gets sent off for the motion, I think that was, you know, that would have been very harsh. And it would have been wrong. But meeting with Sean Davis today at training, because if you saw the replay, or at least you saw Sean Davis being animated on the pitch in the Open Cup quarterfinal, he points at Daniel Royer, telling him that, hey, listen, you got hit in the face. And, you know, this and this and that and that. And then here comes Jorge Gonzalez, red card. So Sean Davis said to us at training, you know, with the media, and you know, all you can say is that was the proper thing to do. Because apparently what happened, very simply put, Sean Davis was upset. And the team was upset because that was the seventh or eighth foul committed by Angola, and he hasn't been booked. And they're just trying to get the referee to give him a yellow card. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Sean Davis, or I guess told Danny Royer, or Royer took it upon himself to go to the referee to tell him, hey, listen, you know, this is the sixth or seventh time he's fouled our guys. So what are we going to do? And here is the full quote. The foul suffered by Bradley from Angola was the sixth or seventh time that's happened. So he's telling him to approach the – so they're telling Daniel Royer to approach the referee to talk about, you know, giving Angola a yellow card. When Royer approached the referee about the yellow, Angola smacked him in the face. Now, not in an extremely aggressive manner, but not in an inappropriate manner either. So – if Angola smacks Royer in the face, and once again, if it wasn't that hard, fine, but still, he made the motion. And that's enough for a red card. You getting smacked in the face? Hey, listen, doesn't matter how hard or how soft it is. It's you know, you're making that move, and you deserve to get smacked. You know, you deserve to be red carded. You deserve to be sent off. That's impossible. That, you know, you're asking the referee, you know, to be a little light on Angola if he smacks Royer in the face, no matter how soft or how hard. And 15 minutes remaining, Red Bulls, you know, taking chances to get that lead late. You're thinking extra time, but then when that whole play happened with Felipe to Bradley Wright Phillips, the Red Bulls, for the first time since the 2003 edition of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, they advanced to the quarterfinals. They advanced to the semifinals. And that, my friends, was absolutely brilliant. It was awesome. And very, very happy to see that happen. And very excited to see what the Red Bulls have done. And now let's go straight over to the manager and Jesse Marsh after the match.
Dig deep. We've had the big deep in the season. We've had the big deep in games. And that was what we've been trying to build this year. Like, we still have a long way to go, but that shows massive growth. To come to New England, tough places to play, twice in a week. And then, you know, I mean, the other part is, we played with one center forward. I mean, we had a bunch of guys playing different positions than they normally play. We arranged things a little bit different tactically. And all we said is we just asked the group to out-compete, out-run, out-will the match. And that's what they did. And then they played some pretty darn good football, too. So, obviously a big moment for our guys, a big moment for our club. You know, we're really excited to be in the semifinal, that's for sure.
As you mentioned, that you guys are not 2 wins away from placing a cup. What does that mean for this club? I know there's a lot of work supposed to be done.
Well, I'll say this, too. We've had to go the hard way, right? We had to play our rivals New York City, then our rivals Philadelphia, then we had to come to New England twice in a week. So, I mean, we've earned the semifinal. Now, that being said, it only gets harder. So the stakes get higher and the commitment gets higher. So we're on the verge of something special, but we have to make sure that we stay focused on all the little things that have gotten us here, and not only that, gotten our season moving in the right direction. So there's momentum in our team.
We didn't exactly see that last week.
We made a tactical change in the first half last time. We used that formation again, and we just tried to lock down the wings, which we know is important against New England, and then tried to create overloads in the middle of the field and see if we could create little chances from that. The goal comes from that. I mean, obviously, we're a little bit fortunate. I don't know if fortunate is the right word. I don't know exactly what happened with the red card, but that helps the game for us because it was a little bit back and forth, and the game was in the balance before then.
You mentioned the red card. What do you see from your team kind of if the game opens up and...
Well, we've had troubles in the past when we get or when we go up a man, not really being dangerous enough. I'll be honest, it's one of those games where I'm trying to think if I should make a sub. Like the guys on the field are really going after it in a big way. So, you know, we decided to leave it alone and it paid off. So that's a good thing. Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that was Jesse Marsh on the matchup. And the man that scored the match winner, Bradley Wright Phillips.
Brad, what'd you see on the red card?
I didn't see it. I was walking back. I didn't see, but apparently the dude touched Danny in the face or something. So, but I'm not sure. I can't really comment on that. I didn't see it.
You guys were able to get the goal pretty quickly thereafter. Just what do you think that kind of did to open up play with 10 men?
Yeah, it obviously makes it easier, but I think it came down to us. And the times that you play against 10 men, and it's difficult to find room in that rushing plays, and everyone thinks they can just chill out. But we've done a good job of keeping the ball and being patient. And Freddie came up with a great pass.
What do you think it means for this team now? You guys have had a tough go at it in the Open Cup with being away to New York, away to Philly, and coming into here. And now you're able to get a result again.
Yeah, it's probably helped us in a way, you know, playing those kind of teams. They're rivals, so all these teams have been rivals. Obviously, you play teams when it is fun. You know, there's bad blood between us, and, you know, it's easier to get out for the game when you play these kind of teams.
Yeah, and for you guys as a club now, you're only 2 wins away from having a cup. What does that mean to you guys knowing you're so close within touching distance?
Yeah, I don't want to get too excited. You know, I don't want to jinx it, but... We're doing well so far. Now we need to keep the same attitude, the same humbleness, and go out with the same game plans and just try and execute. You know, it's been long overdue. This club's had a trophy, and you know, each player in here wants to be the first, the first group to bring it to Red Bull.
Take us through your goal. Coach said it came from something you guys have been working on in training.
Yeah, it was more just a great ball from Felix. You know, I didn't have too much to do. I knew I had to get a decent touch on it, and just got my toe in.
That's the second late winner against the Revs in 8 days.
Yeah.
Is that a mentality thing, just a case of kind of outlasting and outwinning them?
Nah, I feel like against a team like them, it's always a battle. And you know you've got to hang in there to the end. You know, if it's them or us, we make sure it's us. And we've done that this season against them. So, you know, good work on the boys.
Thank you.
Fred, one more from me to wrap up. Is it good to have these games when you would otherwise have a long break to keep momentum going?
I think so, yeah, I think so. You know, sometimes I think we've won like 5 out of the last 6 now, so we're on a decent run. You know, it's been a tough start to the season to us, for us beginning in the half of the season. I think now we're in a good run, it's good to keep playing, yeah.
Thanks.
Bradley Wright Phillips has scored the goal to make it 1-0 late in the match in the 87th minute, and they advance to the semifinals. Ryan Mera, in second clean sheet in the Open Cup, of course, in the fourth round, it was against New York City FC. And big penalty kick shootout winner there as well. Ryan Mera, the winner once again. This is his cup to have if they get to the final. And Ryan Mera right now.
Case of just outlasting and outwilling them.
Yeah, I mean, playing them twice in 8 days, we always knew it was going to be tough, especially the fact that both were away from home. They have a good team. You know, they have some real dangerous guys going forward, so we knew it was going to be a battle. And I think we were really up for it tonight. You know, it wasn't the prettiest game or, you know, the best soccer play, but I think we out-battled them, and in the end, that's what got us the win.
Do you think the red card was a turning point in the match?
I thought we had a good grip on the game up until that point, but obviously anytime they get a man sent off, it's always going to give us a little boost and a little momentum. And, you know, we just stuck at it and ended up being a great finish from Brad.
For you guys as a group, coach was saying afterwards, it hasn't been the easiest Open Cup run in the sense that at City, at Philly, midweek against New England, midweek back here. Just what is this kind of stretch for you guys as a club?
The last month or so has been a tough stretch for us, there's no doubt about it. I think in our last 6 games, we played Philly, NYC, and New England twice each. So those are our 3 rivals, so those games are always going to be a little more heated. Then you throw into the equation that three of them were Open Cup games where it's lose and go home. It was just a battle. That was kind of our mentality going into this little stretch here. And I think we've come out on top, and now we're looking forward to, we had a game Wednesday back in league play, and then we're looking forward to the semifinals. We think we got a good chance of winning it all.
Yeah, you guys are also putting out tonight a lineup where there's only one natural center back. A guy like Connor Lade is probably the first to get on the outside. Tyler Adams, more of a midfielder, playing on the back. As a goalie, just what you see with kind of that ability to adapt to that lineup.
Yeah, I think that's one of our strong points as a team. The way we play and the system that Jess and the staff have for us, it helps in having guys have to switch to other positions. They just step in and do the job. And, you know, I think more than anything, it's about our mentality. And the way we play, pressing, you know, just being an overall tough team to play against. And, you know, I think Jesse does a great job instilling that in us. And I think a night like tonight shows perfectly who we are as a team. And we're down a couple starters, and especially in the back. And I think it was one of our best games defensively of the year.
Yeah, you guys are only now 2 wins away from potentially lifting a trophy. What does that mean to you guys now that it's so close?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely the furthest I've ever been in this tournament. I've been here 6 years, so it's huge. It's huge. We're pumped for the semifinal. We'll wait and see who we got in that. And you know, you got to take it one game at a time. For now, we're focused on league play, and then when the semifinal comes, we'll focus on that.
Thanks, Ryan.
And that is Ryan Mera on the Open Cup winner against the New England Revolution by a final of 1-0. Now, once again, here we go. Semifinal schedule by U.S. Soccer. Now, once again, to remind everybody, just to remind everybody, the quarterfinal matchup that was postponed has been rescheduled for Wednesday, August the 2nd. Okay? For Wednesday, August the 2nd. Here is the semifinal situation right now for U.S. Soccer's Open Cup. And this is what's happening. Okay? Here it is. 9th. Sporting Kansas City will be hosting the San Jose Earthquakes, 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. Now, depending on who wins that last quarterfinal matchup, here is the situation. If it's going to be Miami FC, the match will be played on August 9th at Ricardo Silva Stadium at Florida International University in Miami, Florida, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If it's going to be an FC Cincinnati victory, the semifinal will be in Cincinnati, 8 o'clock Eastern, at Nippert Stadium on the campus of University of Cincinnati. And whoever wins their semifinal matchups, if it's Sporting Kansas City, they will be the permanent hosts. If it's going to be San Jose winning, they will be the permanent road team, which would mean either at Red Bull Arena, Ricardo Silva Stadium, or Nippert Stadium for the final on Wednesday, September the 20th. So we shall see what happens then. But until then, my friends, it is time to say goodbye. Thanking for tonight Thad Bell from the Blue Testament of SB Nation on Sporting Kansas City. I also want to thank Ted Ramey from KNBR, the radio voice of the San Jose Earthquakes. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me again, once again here, Red Bull's special midweek review show on Thursday afternoon. This coming Friday night, USA versus El Salvador Gold Cup quarterfinal review show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great. I'll talk to you guys next time. Take care. So long. Enjoy your football, and bye-bye for now.